chat to you probably a few years ago about coming to Cherry Hill to speak. This was a long, long time ago. So it's happening. Corona made it happen over Zoom, which is a nice thing. We're glad we have this. This is very kind of last minute thrown together. And I really just want to thank our sponsors who within an hour, I think even less than that, we Baruch Hashem got the beer sponsored. And I asked them if they wanted to do it in honor and anything. So I'm just going to say quickly, thank you to Ellie and Rivka Sara Beck, who sponsored in gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Ellie's successful bone marrow transplant, which took place a year ago. So that is a really big Hakaras HaTov. Moria Chesler, in honor of the Cherry Hill Jewish community. Shari Weinberger, in honor of her new granddaughter, Adela Tova, Mazel Tov. Vivian Richmond, in memory of Ruben Ben Zion and Razel Bas Yisrael. The Mechanic family, in honor, in memory of Zipporah Bela Bas Aaron Shmuel. Talia Stone, in honor of how welcoming the Cherry Hill community has been. And the Reed family said that we should merit a good, blessed year, and Klal Yisrael should see the Geula. We're not quite welcoming Mrs. Michal Horowitz to our community, but welcome you virtually to our community. Mrs. Michal Horowitz is a professional lecturer. She speaks really everywhere, very widely. She spoke for the OU Slichos program last night, so we're very privileged to have her in our Cherry Hill community. She's published many articles in YU's Torah to Go. She is a featured speaker at the OU Speakers Bureau, and has been a guest lecturer in many communities. And we're very, very privileged to have her. So thank you again to our sponsors, and thank you to Mrs. Michal Horowitz for really inspiring us before Rosh Hashanah. In the past, we've always had live speakers, and I just felt like, how can we not, as a community of women, go into Rosh Hashanah with some level of preparation communally? So thank you.
Okay, let me just mute everybody once again, please. Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Zoom shiur for the community, the Kehillah of Young Israel of Cherry Hill. I want to thank Rebbetzin Bienenfeld for inviting me to speak this evening. And yes, this shiur came together very quickly, Baruch Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam saved this time slot for you, because my schedule is really, Baruch Hashem, very busy. And it was open, and here we are learning together. So we are Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's just a few days to the Yom HaDin, the day that the world was created, the day that we will all be judged, Hayom HaRas Olam, Hayom Ya'ami B'mishpal Kol Yitzurei Olamim. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to think about. If we haven't thought yet about Elo and the Mitzvah of Teshuvah on the upcoming Yom HaDin, there's still time. Because we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam waits for the person, Ad Yom Moso Techakalo. Until the person's day of death, your Ribbono Shel Olam waits. And if he repents, miyad tekabel, immediately God takes him back. Tonight's shiur will be focusing on Kriyas HaTorah, actually, for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So I know that this is a unique year, and it's possible that many of us might not even be in Beis Knesses. I have no idea what the rules and regulations are in your community and your kehillah, but things are far from normal in all kehilos, some of us due to age, might be in high risk and not able to go to shul. Some of us might be home with babies and not be able to go to shul. Some of us might be afraid to go to Beis Knesses where there are crowds. However, even though that is the case, there is still Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah with many lessons that we can derive. And so we are going to begin in Perek Chof Beis. Rebbetzin Bienenfeld mentioned my shiur last night, so that was really focused on lessons from Hagar, which was an atypical topic, I think. Kriyas HaTorah for the first day is not just the redemption of Sarah, but it actually deals with a story about Hagar and her son who are lost straying in the desert. Tonight, I want to focus on Perek Chof Beis of Bereishis, and that is Kriyas HaTorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So I'm going to start to screen share with you. Okay. Here we go. It's just someone who I can see. I can see the Rebbetzin. Can you see my screen, the Pesukim on my screen? So let us look through Perek Chof Beis of Bereishis. So we know that Avraham Avinu was tested, for those who continue reciting Pirkei Avos. past Shavuos, like I do, Arusi Perkei Avos, all the way through the end of the year. So this past Shabbos was the last week of the recitation of Perkei Avos for this year, Shabbos afternoon after Mincha. And in Parakei Mishnah Dalu, we read, Ba'asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. Va'amad Bekulam, he withstood them all. La'odia Kamachi Basel Shal Avram Avinu, to let you know how beloved, how dear is Avram Avinu. So according to some commentators, the 10th test was the test of the Akedas Yitzchak, which is the test that we read of on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. According to some commentators, the 10th test was Perachov Gimel, Bereshus, and Kavura Sarah, the burial place of Sarah. I don't understand. If this is my land and you're giving it to me, why do I have nowhere to bury my wife? And why do I have to buy it for 400 people? Pieces of silver shekel over the sacher. It's my own land. I have to buy my own land. Okay. But according to many commentators, Perichof Beis Bereishis, commonly known as the story of the Akedas Yitzchak, is Avraham Avinu's 10th and final test. His first test was being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, which is not even mentioned in the Torah text. It's referenced by Rashi to Perek Yud Aleph Pasuch of Ches, right at the end of Parshas Noach. He smashed his father's idols. His father told on him to Nimrod. Nimrod throws him into the fiery furnace. The first test in the Torah text is in Bereishis Yud Beis, Lechecha Me'artzecha Mimoladetcha, Al'artz Sha'areka, leave your land, your father's home, Mi'beis Avicha, go to the land that I will show you. So the first test is being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. The first test in the Torah text is Lechecha Me'artzecha, and the final test, according to most, the Bar Tanura, etc., is Akedas Yitzchak. You will note that between the first test being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh and the 10th test, sacrificing his son, there are many other tests. There's the test of Bris Milah. Sar was taken by Paro. Sar was taken by Avimelech, the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, etc. But the first test and the last test are very similar, except that there's a fundamental difference. The first test is throwing himself into the Kivshan Ha'esh, allowing himself to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. The 10th and final and most difficult test was the test of the Akedah, Rachmana Litzlan, the sacrifice of his son. So let us look at the Psukim and how the Kriyas HaTorah plays out on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It was after these things. V'halokim nisa et Avraham. Elohim no midas adin, the attribute of strict justice, which is the primary midah of din. When we call Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaDin, din is manifest by Shem Elohim. Another reason we read this on the Yom HaDin of Salvation says, through the shofar blasts, through the call, through the Ribbono Shel Olam moves from the throne of justice, midas Elohim, to the throne of mercy, midas harachamim. Elohim, midas HaDin, tested Avram. Vayomer Elov Avram. And God appeared one day to Abram, who waited 100 years for this child. And he said, Avram, and Avram said, God is calling, Hineni, here I am. Vayom, and Hashem said, Kachna es bincha, take your son, es yichidcha, your only son, asher ahavta, the one you love. Maybe Avram Avinu, Rashi says, could say, I have two sons after Bincha. Which son? As Yechidcha, each one is a Yachid to his mother. Yishmael is a Yachid to Hagar. And Yitzchak is a Yachid to Sarah. Which one? Asher Ahavta, that you love. I love both of them, said Avram Avinu. Who shall you take? As Yitzchak. Take your son, no doubts. Your only one, even if it's only one to each of their mother, that you love both of them. I will say clearly, take Yitzchak. And what should you do with Yitzchak? Lech lecha. Now we said that the first test in the Torah text is Lechecha Me'artzecha Mimoladetcha Mi'beis Avicha La'artz Asher Areka. Leave your land, your father's home, your birthplace, go to the land that I will show you. Bereishis 12:1. The first test is Lechecha, and the second test is Lechecha. What does Lechecha mean? Lech means go. Lech lecha, go for yourself. It means that through these nisyonos, Avraham Avinu, you will find yourself. Ramban tells us in his commentary to Bereishis Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, that Koma She'iru Lo'avo Siman Lebanim. Sefer Bereishis is known as the Sefer HaSimanim, the Book of Omens, or the Book of Foreshadowing, because everything that happened to the patriarchs and matriarchs happens to us. So here's our first cue, our first clue into my topic of tonight's shir. Lech lecha. It should say Lech al Eretz Maria. Go to the land of Moriah. Just like Avram Avinu should have been told in the beginning by his first Nisayin of the Torah tests. Lech me'artzecha. What do you mean? Go for yourself. And somehow, through the difficulties that we encounter in our lives, we go to ourselves. We find ourselves. Go to the land of Moriah. V'haleu sham la'ola. An Ola offering is burnt Kalil la'Hashem. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the Korban Pesach, which is eaten totally by the Baal Korban. The Ola is totally burnt to God. Yitzchak should be made into a Korban. You know what the problem is when we learn Torah? When we hear the story of the Akedah, when we sit in Shul, if you're going to be there this year, and if not this year, then all previous years, and you hear the story of Avraham Avinu, and even if we're the women, and maybe even haven't been there, and you want to know what time is Shofar, I should be in Shul for so long, I should go from Shachos all the way to the end. That's for the men. I'll show up in time for Shofar, and I'll stay through Musaf. But if you were there, and you were the Kriyas HaTorah, we're too immune to the biblical stories, because we know them since we're growing up. But this is a child that he waited 100 years for. And Sarah waited 90 years for. And they defied all the scoffers of the generation. Bring him as an Ola offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell you. Even the word Ola, interestingly, it signifies Aliyah. Excuse me, like a Ben Aliyah, someone who is growing a Ruchnius. Lach lecha, go for yourself. Aliyah, you will have an Aliyah through this Korban. Ayashkim Avram Baboker, three times in the Torah we are told that Avram woke up early in the morning, one time when he davened for Sodom and Gomorrah, one time when he sends away Hagar and Ishmael, and one time here by the Akedas Yitzchak. And he harnesses his donkey and he takes his two lads with him, Yishmael and Eliezer, and he takes Yitzchak his son. Vayivaka atse ola, he splits wood for the ola offering. Vayakam, he gets up. Vayelech, and he went alamakom, to the place. That Elohim said, "Vayam hashlishi," and it happened on the third day. Vayisa Avram esenav, and Avram lifts his eyes. Vayaris hamakom meirachok, he sees the place is very far. Majush Tanchuma, Parshas Vayera, has a very in-depth, beautiful piece about how the Satan came in all different disguises and tried to convince Avram and Yitzchak not to continue on that Kedah. He appeared as an old man, he appeared as a young man, he made a raging river, he did everything in his power to prevent Avram and Yitzchak from going to that Kedah. And after 3 days, they finally overcome the Satan, and Abram lifts his eyes, Vayaris HaMakom Mirechok. And here again, you have a play on words, because one of the names for the Ribono Shel Olam is Makom. And sometimes a Jew feels, especially at such a juncture in life, that God is far from me. I'm not exactly sure. Could it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to sacrifice as an Ola this child? You stay here with the donkey. Rashi says, "Im hadoma lachamar." They were like the donkey. They resemble the donkey. You stay here with the donkey. Vani vanar necha ad ko. The lad and I will go on yonder. V'nishtachave. We will worship. We will prostrate. V'nashuva aleichem. He had a nevuah, and he didn't know he had a nevuah. Nishuva. We will return. Ayikach Avram es atze ola. Avram takes the wood for the offering. He puts it upon Yitzchak his son, and he takes it in his hand. What does he take in his hand? Es ha'esh. As he takes the fire and the knife. Interesting usage of the word knife. It should say sakin. Ma'achalas is like the word ochel, food or sustenance. So I forget where I read it brought down. I believe it's of Salvechek. That we still receive sustenance from the Akedas Yitzchak today. And that's why it's called the Ma'achalas, from the word ochel. We say to Ribbono Shel Olam in the Zichronos, Akedas Yitzchak hayam berachamim tizkar. This is a pivotal story. In our Rosh Hashanah Avoda, we ask God the Zichronos to remember Akedas Yitzchak. We read the story on Rosh Hashanah's second day. We blow the shofar, which comes from and reminds us of, or causes God to move from Kisei Din to Kisei Rachamim. We're blowing the shofar of the Akedah. The Akedas Yitzchak is a pivotal component of the Avoda, of the Teshuvah, of the Mechila of Rosh Hashanah. Throughout the liturgy of the day, from the Kriyas HaTorah to the shofar blowing itself, which is the mitzvah hayom, what we are doing is invoking the merits of the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. The Ma'acheles is called the Ma'acheles from the word ochel, aleph chaf lamid, rather than sakin, because we continue to eat to benefit from these chusim down to today. Vayechu shneim yachdav, and father and son walk together. Very important pasuk for our shir. Pay close attention. Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv. Yitzchak says to Avram, his father, Vayomer Avi, my father, Vayomer Hineni Bini. Here I am, my son. He begins the mission with telling God, Hineni. And he continues the mission with telling his son, Hineni, I am here, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm present in the moment. Hineni. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. The challenges of technology today, it's very hard to say to God, Hineni. And it's very hard to say to our children sometimes, Hineni. We are so distracted. There is so much going on in our lives. We are constantly being bombarded with texts and WhatsApps and messages and social network and posts and news, I don't know, pop-ups on your screen. What has happened to our Hineni? I don't have an answer. I struggle with it the same way perhaps you struggle with it. If not, call Kavan, I think you're in the minority. Hineni. Avram says to God, Hineni. When we're davening, some shows have to make rules. No cell phones allowed. Why is it there in the first place? Hineni, you should be present in Beis Knesses. You're talking to the Ribono Shel Olam. When God calls, you have to say, here I am. And when our child calls us, we also have to say, here I am. It's not Musar for you, it's Musar for me, really. Hineni bini, vayomer. And Yitzchak says, and pay close attention. Hine ha'esh v'ha'etzim. Okay, Father, here is the fire and the wood. V'aye ha'seh la'ola. So what are we sacrificing? We have wood, we have fire, we have ama'achelas. Where's the korban? Vayomer Avram, and Avram says, Elokim yir elo haseh la'ola bni. So the question is how you punctuate this. Elokim yir elo haseh. God will show for himself the sheep, la'ola bni. My son will be a sacrifice. Or God will show for himself the sefer and ola, my son. And they walk together. They come to the place where God has said. Avram built a mizbech. And he arranges the wood. And he binds his son Yitzchak. And he places him on top of the mizbech above the wood. At this statement, Pasuches, what Avram says, God will show the seh, the lamb, the sheep, comma, la'ola b'ni, my son, you are the sacrifice. Vayelchushneham yachtav. Yitzchak understood in it, he continued to walk with his father. And Avram binds his son Yitzchak and he puts him on top of the mizbeach, comma, she'iru la'avosim on the banim. Amini doros of Yidin, rachmana litzlan. I've been called upon in the name of God for no other reason that they were Jews with the belief in the one Ribono Shel Olam to sacrifice like Avraham Avinu sacrificed. Oh, I read this already. Avram sends forth his hand and he takes the knife. The hardest test for a person is to go against their very nature. Avraham Avinu was a Baal Chesed Paras Ksalans. He was the Bechinis Chesed. He went to take in everybody, even four Dusty Nomag Arabs. The hardest test is to go against your nature. So if by nature you're a patient person, so it's not a test for you if you stay patient with your children. Because you're by nature a patient person. But if you're an impatient person by nature, and you stay calm, that's godless. Avram Avinu had to prove his godless by going against his teva. His teva was he was the Bechinis Chesed. Ashloshot v'rayim ha'olam amin. Shivan ha'yasadik ha'yim ishar anse knesses ha'gadola. Ala Torah v'alvod v'agmilos chesedim. Torah corresponds to Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. Avoda corresponds to Yitzchak because Avoda is korbanos and here Yitzchak is the korban. And Torah and chesed, gmilos chesed corresponds to Avram Avinu. And he had to go against his very nature. And he picks up the knife. You're too used to the story. It's not scary. He's about to shecht his son. And this is a prominent feature of the Rosh Hashanah Tfilos. And all of a sudden, you should be gasping. Vayikra elav Malach Hashem. First time we see the appearance. What happened to my... Could you still see? Oh, there we go. First time we see the appearance of Shem Rachamim. Yod Kei Vav Kei. Until now, it's been Elokim, Elokim, Makom, Elokim. Remember we said Rav Soloveitchik explains through the story of the Akedas Yitzchak and through the blowing of the shofar and invoking the merits of the Akedah. Hashem moves from the throne of Din, Elohim, to the throne of Rachamim. And you even see that transition here in the Torah narrative. He's about to shecht his son. Akedas Yitzchak Hayom Berachamim Tizkor. Remember this merit, God. And who calls him Malach Hashem? The Ribbono Shel Olam has moved Kaviyachol from the throne of Din to the throne of mercy. And the angel of mercy, God, calls out to him from the heavens and he says, Avram, Avram, it's urgent. And for the third time, Avram says, I'm here. What do you want? Don't send forth your hand to the lad. Don't do anything. I know you're God-fearing. You didn't hold back your son. You're only one from me. Vayisa Avram es einav. Pay attention. And Avram lifted his eyes. Vayar, and he sees. Vihine ayel achar nechaz besfach bekarnav. Interesting. There's a ram behind him, caught in the thicket by its thorns. And Avram went, and he took the ayel. This is the ayel which we blow shofar. Vayelu ola tachas b'no. And he offers the ram as an ola, as a kalil sacrifice, totally to God instead of his son. Avram called this place Hashem Yireh. Malki Tzedek calls it Shalem. Avram calls it Hashem Yireh. Different shir for a different time. Avram names half of the city of Yerushalayim. Ranger says Hashem Yireh is part of the word Yerushalayim. Angel of God calls out to him a second time. Because you did this thing, you didn't hold back your son, your only one, I will surely bless you and your seed like the stars in the heaven, like the sand on the sea. And your children will inherit the gates of their enemies. Everyone will be blessed to you. So far we've had a number of insights based on the different Lashon and some Musar Haskel as well. So I want to point out an insight that I never heard before till this year that made a tremendous impact on me that I'm now going to share with you. New insight. There's always something new to learn in Torah. You think you know the stories of Torah? Very nice. There's so much to learn. Shivim panim l'Torah. You could sit hafochba v'hafochba dekula bo. Turn it over and over. And the Parakeh, we read it yesterday in Pirkei Avos. Everything is in here. And there's so many secrets that are hidden to us. We don't even know. You read the same story 100 times. You don't even know what's right there. My brother made a bar mitzvah over Shabbos. So we have the largest backyard of the three siblings. So it was mamish just for the Baal Simcha, my brother and his family, and three siblings, families, and one set of grandparents. Social distance. Everyone had their own table. Outdoors, tent in our yard. Everyone's table is far apart from each other. Okay, so I told my brother quickly the var I'm about to share with you. And he said, he's a Rebbe in Har Torah, a much loved Rebbe in Har Torah. I know it's not in your neighborhood, but if you've heard of it. So he said, I hear a lot of insights, but that one I'm going to remember. Two animals, actually I shouldn't say two, three animals play a role in this story. The chamor, the seh, and the ayel. The ayel becomes the symbolism of Rosh Hashanah in the shofar. It's the ayel that shechted instead of Yitzchak, that we take the shofar, that causes God, Elohim, to move, says Rav Soloveitchik, from Midas HaRadin to Midas HaRachamim, Be'ez Rosh Hashanah. So the chamar symbolizes, it's from the word chemer, matter. Ches mem resh. Chemer is the shorosh of matter. The chamar carries. He carries your objects, he carries your matter. Furthermore, he carries the knife and the wood that they needed, and maybe Yitzchak traveled on the chamar. Chomer, it's matter, because a donkey is used to carry physical things. Furthermore, Rashi tells us that the Na'arav, who went with him, are like the Chamar. You stay here with the Chamar. Aliyazar Nishma. Then, when we come to the story of the journey, when it's just Avram and Yitzchak, there are two animals. This is so tremendous. I don't know if you heard someone else say, you didn't definitely hear me say on Why You Torah, because I haven't said it yet. Seh is the first animal, lamb or sheep. Ayo, ram, is the second animal, ram. So when they begin their journey, and I told you, pay attention at this pasuk. Yitzchak says to his father, Avram, father, and he said, here I am. I'm not checking my messages. I'm not checking WhatsApp. I'm not checking Waze. I'm not checking the humidity. I'm not checking my schedule for tomorrow. I'm not booking appointments. I'm not looking on Facebook. I'm here. And his son says, I have a question. Here's the fire. Here's the wood. What are we shechting? But when he asks, he says, Aye haseh la'ola. The first animal that we're talking about is a lamb or a sheep, a timid, docile, quiet animal. Its head's always down. My parents used to have the summer home up in Bellyurda, about an hour away from Toronto. We have such fond memories. We loved it so much. And my children, Kanina Har, loved it so much. And when you would pull off the highway before everything was turned into developments, there were farms, cow farms, this farms, corn fields. There was always at one corner, I see it in my mind's eye, we went up every summer, all this back and forth, from the city to the country, from the city to the country, and there was a field of sheep. And every time you've pulled off, you know what they do? Their heads are always down. They're always grazing. They're the most docile animals. Small, little animal. And Avram says, God will show for himself the seh, la'ola b'ni. We gave two ways of punctuating that. And he's about to shech the son, and he carries through the nisayin, lechecha me'artzecha, lechecha le'eretz ha'moriah. And he binds his son. No, first he builds the mizbech. And then he arranges the wood. And then he binds Yitzchak, akedat Yitzchak, v'ya'akodes Yitzchak b'no. And he sends forth his hand and he takes the ma'achelas. We've described why, we explained why it's called the ma'achelas and not a sakin. And now Hashem has moved from kisei din to kisei rachamim. The first appearance of Shem Hashem, yud, then kei, then hey, then vav, then hey. Ayomer hineni. God calls him, Avram, Avram, and he says, I'm here. Don't send forth your hand, don't do anything. Avram lifts his eyes and he sees an aisle. Achar, nechaz besvach bekarnav. He sees a ram behind him, caught in the thicket, in the thorns, by its horns. Avram goes, and he takes the ayol, and he brings it as an ola instead of a son. We started the story wondering if he would have a seh la'ola. And after Avram and Yitzchak, vayelchu shneim yachdav, go through this whole process, all of a sudden, there's an aisle that makes an appearance. Out of the clear blue, there's an aisle. God could have made a seh. You want a shecht on offering? You want to bring an ola? So bring a seh. Isn't that what we were talking about in the first place? So a woman who learns with me, I'm in a number of venues, but every Monday night in my parasha class, she always emails me, not always as in today they say literally, doesn't mean literally, always doesn't mean always. She frequently emails me with added ha'oros, or very nice insights. A learned woman often offers very nice insights. And she emailed this to me in the beginning of July. Something in my shir reminded her of this. And I said, I don't know yet what shir I'm going to say this during Elul, but this is going to be a shir. Her name is Esther Edelman. Vayechu shneim yachdav, it says before, I showed you the psukim. I stopped screen sharing, but we went through it. You could open up a machzor and see it. You could open up a chumash and see it. They walk together. And then Yitzchak says to his father, where is the seh la'ola? And Avram says, Hashem yir'elo haseh la'ola b'ni v'yelchu shneim yachtov. Yitzchak goes heart and heart and hand with Avram Avinu before he knows he's the ola. And he walks with Avram Avinu hand in hand, heart and heart after he knows he's the ola. Where's the seh? What is the seh? The seh is the smallest animal that can be given as a korban yachid. The smallest animal that can be given to God as a korban yachid, a offering of an individual, is a seh, a lamb or a sheep. He understands what's happening. They go through the akedah, they do. He's actually bound upon the mizbech. That's the akedah part. Ayakod, we saw the psukim. And all of a sudden, an aisle appears. Why not a seh? Hashem wants a sacrifice, so bring a seh. So before I continue with Esther's insight, I want to quote the Ramban. I'm not going to show it to you inside, but you can look it up. The Ramban, Nachman, leads to Vayikra. Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim, the book of Korbanos, and the Avoda, and the Mishkan / Mikdash. So the Ramban, to Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, explains that when a person brings, he talks about the rationale for korbanos. First he quotes the Rambam, who he does not agree with, and then he explains his rationale for korbanos. And the Ramban explains, it sounds a lot like kaparos, by the way, that we do. also during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, that a person should think when they bring the korban, I am the korban. My hands sinned. My feet walked to do the Avera. It should be my blood that was spilled. When a person says vidu over the korban, the confession over the korban, he has to raise, it's his sin, it's his Avera. And the Ramban writes, Beferish, if not for God's mercy, that he took a kapara, a substitute instead of me, I would be the korban. But God in his mercy, he says, Zahat staka yelech, Zahat kesef yelech litztaka. Zos kaparasi, zos tumurasi, zah kesef yelech litztaka, v'ani yelech l'chaim tovim l'shalem. In his mercy, God takes the tarnagol or the tzedakah, whichever you use, instead of me. But I should be the korban. A korban represents a person. So much of the Yom Kippur avoda is focused on korbanos. Today we don't know because we don't have it, so we can't relate to it. Rachmana litzlan. But the whole avoda was different sacrifices that the kohen was shechting all day. Kohen gadol. A korban is a person. Before the nisayon, Yitzchak was a seh, a timid, docile, weak. Little lamb, I don't want to say the patriarchs were weak. I'm saying it's a Musar Haskel. Bear with me and you'll see what I mean. Represented in the fact that he says, Aye Hasel Ola. And Avraham Avinu said, this is the test of my life, said Abraham. And he says to his son, Hashem, your Elo, Hasel La'ola Bini. But after the Nisayon, after he overcame, Ata Yodati Kiare Elokim Arta, after what they went through at this monumental event that we commemorate and we weave into the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah, after a person perseveres and overcomes their Nisayon, you're no longer a Seh, you're an Ayal. An Ayal is the largest korban, the biggest animal for our korban yachid. The person undergoes a transformation. When we have nisyonos in life, and we don't like them, I've yet to meet someone who likes our nisyonos, and we struggle, and we cry, and we ask Hashem to help us through. We ask Hashem to take it away, and we tell Hashem we don't like it. But something mysterious happens. And a person is faced with difficulties in life. They move. They transform, I should say. From being a seh to being an ayah. Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, so famously, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, you all know this. Ezehu gibor, hakovesh es yitzro. Who is a mighty warrior? One who conquers his evil inclination. More mighty than he who is lochet ear, who conquers a city, is one who overcomes the situation the Ribbono Shel Olam puts him in. And yes, we call it the test of Avraham, because being thrown into the Kivshan Eish, giving up his own life, was nothing compared to having to give up the life of his child. He should never be tested. Achmana Litzlan, my grandparents' generation was tested. All four of them were Holocaust survivors. We should never be tested. But for Avram to go into the Kivshan Ha'esh, paled in comparison, was test number one. And the test ascend in difficulty. Paled in comparison to the climax of the test of his life. Kach nes bincha, sichidcha, sharahavdas Yitzchak. It's unfathomable. But what happened to Yitzchak as he underwent this process of being offered as the Ola? As he underwent the process of the Nisayon of the Akedah. If a korban represents a person pre-Nisayon, is totally different than a person post-Nisayon who has been able to overcome, even who struggles to overcome, who has the fortitude not to give up in life. It's very difficult. We all have Nisyonos. I quote this line so often. Rav Salvechik says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. Vayar es hamakom merachok. Avraham Avinu at that moment felt distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. As if such a thing is possible. It's difficult to comprehend. It's impossible to understand how long I waited for this child. And I was shechted him. You told me, Kibiyitzchak, Yikarech Azar, and Perichof Allah, if we read it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And now you tell me to shechted him. But the process of a nisayon changes a person, ennobles a person, enlightens a person, and makes a person much greater. Even if we don't like it, when we rise to the occasion, we will find ourselves immeasurably, totally changed. We have metamorphosed. What's the word? Metamorphosized? That's not a word. There's a metamorphosis. From a seh to an ayal. The carbon replaces the person. It had to be an ayal because he had grown so much. And I noticed something very interesting because I've been thinking about this a lot. And what's so interesting is there's a word here that in the Torah text that clues us into the truth of this ha'ara that Esther shared with me. Vayisa Avram es einav. Avram lifted his eyes. You have to listen to this. It gets even better. It's amazing. Vayar and he sees. Ready? Ready? Vihine ayel achar. Now, achar, remember the Sefer Torah, there's no nekudos. It could also be read in acher. It could also be read acher. Alluding to the fact that vihine ayel acher, there is another ayel. Caught in the thicket by its thorns. Who's the other aisle? Well, the first aisle is metaphysically Yitzchak. So Avram lifts his eyes and he sees another aisle, meaning the animal. But this acher does not only mean behind him is a ram. It means Avram lifted his eyes and he sees there is another ram. Another ram means there's a first aisle. Who's the first aisle? The metaphysical aisle? Yitzchak. This resonates so powerfully, so strongly with me. I am sure, and I hope, with some of you, if not with all of you. I once read many years ago. Inside every person, it wasn't a Jewish source. I don't even remember where I read it. It stuck in my head. It was before I was teaching. It goes back a long time. Inside every person, there are strengths he does not know he has until he is called upon to use them. You think you're a seh. You think you can't make it through the year. You think, Ribon Shalom, I can't take the nisayon. You think I can't possibly persevere. I don't have a koach. You're not a seh. You're an ayil. And you blow that shofar, the ram's horn, to remind the Ribon Shalom of how much courage you have, of how much koach you have, of how much amunah. Because God, I didn't give up. Not on myself and not on you. Vayisa Avram es einav. To see the aisle, the gibor chayil in life, you have to lift your eyes. They're so great, the aisle stands above you. Abram had to lift his eyes to see the aisle. It indicates a high level, an aliyah. Yitzhak was the ola, he was the ben aliyah. And sometimes we grow in the easy times in life, but more often than not, we grow in the hard times. I was just reminded over Shabbos. Whew! V'hine ayel acher. Na'achaz b'svach b'karnav. There is another ayel. Wow. Stuck in the thicket by its thorns. The first ayel is the metaphysical ayel, Yitzchak. The second ayel is the animal that was shechted. I was just reminded, I saw over Shabbos, I'm showing my brother something in one of the books that I have of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. And he talks about how a lobster grows. And in looking up, but I wanted to show my brother, I just noticed again that he talks about how a lobster grows. I don't know exactly how a lobster grows, but apparently there's great tension when it comes to the growth of the lobster striving against the shell. If it's wrong, a mistake is mine, and I'm probably quoting the Sefer wrong. But something about how the growth comes through great difficulty. Someone shared this with me. She forwarded this to me. It comes from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, his weekly email to the Boca Raton Synagogue community. I'm going to quote it. Okay, she copied and pasted into an email for me. My thanks to Paul Spodek for sending this to me. And it ties in so perfectly for our shiur. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says as follows. If we use the ram, and I think this brings our shiur together so well. If we use the ram to invoke the Akedas Yitzchak, why do we specifically use the horn? Writes Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. If our goal is to remind Hashem of Akedas Yitzchak, which we have proven in tonight's shiur, but we don't even think about it. We're so busy with teshuva and tefillah and tzedakah that you forget that the mitzvah yom is shofar. And you forget that that shofar comes from that Akedah. And you forget that we ask Hashem to remember that Akedah. And you forget the Torah reading. But it's so pivotal to our avoda of Rosh Hashanah. Because we too want the Ribbono Shel Olam to move from the Kisei of Din, Elohim, to the Kisei of Rachamim. And how do we accomplish that, says the Rav? We saw it in the story of the Akedah. Rav Salvechik says, the blowing of the shofar itself. Because in the time of the narrative, God moved from Elohim to Hashem. And we mimic that with the Davar Mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, with the shofar. So going back to Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, if we use the ram to invoke the Akedas Yitzchak, why specifically the horn? If our goal is to remind Hashem of Akedas Yitzchak, we could have used another part of the ram. I don't know, the hoof, whatever, or the tail, I don't know. Would be weird, but we would be used to it. Maybe it's weird to blow a ram's horn, I don't know. We're just used to it. Maybe we should bring a steak on Rosh Hashanah. Why the ram? Why specifically the horn of the ram? Perhaps we can answer, I'm literally quoting from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's email. Perhaps we can answer with an insight from Rav Meir Shapiro. I assume he means Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, Zatzal. In his Imre Da'as, the Pasuk says, he sat on the first day, Vayashkem Avram Baboker. We saw it in the Torah reading. He arrived on the third day. We saw that also inside. It was on Yom HaShlishi, Vayaras HaMakom Merachok. What happened in between? Oh, so he quotes Medrash Tanchuma, which I read a quote, which I've taught before in depth. It's worth looking up. It's beautiful. When Avram set out to bring his son as a sacrifice, along the way, the Satan tried numerous times to discourage Avram from going on his mission. Every time, Avram bypassed the Satan and he overcame. He persevered. And when he finally raises his hand to take Yitzchak's life, an angel says, Avram, Avram, hineni. Don't do it! Wonders Rav Meir Shapiro. And this is a good question. How did Avraham Avinu know that the voice of the angel was authentic and legitimate? Those 3 days, and the Makom was Rachok. How did he know he wasn't hearing voices? How did he know it wasn't himself, the essence of Bechinas Chesed, that was telling him not to Shechted? How did he know it was really a Malach Hashem? How did he know it wasn't a Navi Sheker? How did he know it wasn't the Satan? One last time, making a final last-ditch effort to get him to stop the Akedah. So Rav Meir Shapiro answers in him, Imre Da'as. The text tells us that Avram notices the ram, if you remember the Pasuk, Vayisa Avram Eseinam Vayar Vihine Ayel Achar Nechaz Besvach Bekarnav. The Pasuk tells us that the ram is stuck. It's in the thorns. It's struggling. It's stuck in the thicket. Think of an animal stuck in the thicket. All they want to do is get out. They're moving their head this way and that way. They're trying to escape. Only upon noticing the ram struggling was Avram convinced to put down the knife. Explains Rav Meir Shapiro, falsehood and temptation come easy. Truth, meaning, and I'm adding in courage and heroism, are connected to struggle and effort. And this ties in perfectly to the whole premise and thesis of our shiur. That ayah represents the courage. Yitzchak is no longer a se, and none of you are the se you were before your nisayon was set upon you. It's not possible that if you are an Eved Hashem, you are not changed from what you have undergone. It might be difficult and it might be painful and you might hate it and God help me. But it changes you. If you are a ma'amin, b'nei ma'aminim. Avram noticed the struggle of the ram. And he saw the struggle, writes Rabbi Goldberg. He knew he was in the presence of truth. Perhaps we specifically, writes Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, use the horn of the ram because the horn was entangled. The horn was caught by Yar Vehinai Ayel Achar, which we have also translated and explained as Ayel Acher. The first Ayel was Yitzchak. The second Ayel, Ayel Acher, a different Ayel, was the ram. But it was caught by the thicket and it's struggling. And that represents our struggles in life. And we take that shofar, we take that horn, and we blast it loud and clear. And when God sees our struggles, but we persevere nonetheless, that's the moment when he hears the shofar, kaviyacha, that he moves from the kisei of din to the kisei of rachamim. These are my children. Look how they have overcome. Look how they have not given up. Ola. B'nei Aliyah. It's so hard sometimes. It's so painful. We don't understand. But when Avram saw the struggle of the ram, he knew that voice of the Malach Hashem was authentic. Because the Yetzer Hara makes things very easy. But if you're struggling, if you feel you are ne'echaz b'svach b'karnav, you are an Eved Hashem. The ram struggled to escape, but the horns were caught in the bush, writes Rabbi Goldberg, and it couldn't get out. What does the shofar represent? Our challenges, our struggles. Why was it chosen? The ram's horn, and not another part or piece or aspect of the animal. Because Hashem cherishes those struggles, writes Rabbi Goldberg. Last sentence from Rabbi Goldberg. He values our effort. He cares deeply about each and every moment of perseverance. And when Avram saw the struggle of the ram, he knew that his avoda had been accepted. And he knew that it was the voice of Emes. Because avodas Hashem does not come easy. And growth in life does not come easy. And the lobster goes with friction, writes Rabbi Dr. Tversky. It's in the book, The Rabbi and the Nuns. Through friction with its shell. And that's a story that we read on Rosh Hashanah. That's the message that we have for God. Look what we've been through the past year. Look how difficult it was individually. Who could say they didn't have nisyonos? Who could say? If you tell me you didn't, I don't believe you. Or you're a malach. Nationally, and globally, we're in such a difficult time. And we invoke the merit of the Akedah, not only to remind us of our courage, but to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam that a simple Jew, you, me, we're not Gedolei Olam, we're not Gedolei Ador, we're simple people. You might start off as a seh, but when you've grown from your test, or more usually tests, there's an ayah, acher, ne'echaz b'svach b'karnav. And Avram takes that ayah, and he shechts it as an ola, in the place of Yitzchak, his son. And every year, on Rosh Hashanah, we ask God to remember Akedas Yitzchak and Berachamim, Tizkar, Ma'achelas. It still feeds us chusim, because Kol Mashi Yirel Avos Simon Lebanim. We all go through our personal Akedos to lesser degrees. We should never be tested, but we are tested. Inside every person, there are strengths he does not know he has until he is called upon to use them. I'm going to end with one thought that I heard Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg say in a different shir. This doesn't come to me from Apollos Podek. And he mentioned, I was listening to an audio shir of his, Why do we use honey of bees on Rosh Hashanah? Why not honey of tamarim? In fact, tamarim are one of the simanim on Rosh Hashanah, she'itam asoninu. When the Torah mentions the shivas aminim, Devarim parachas pasuchas eretz chitu usor vegetufenu te'enu v'rimon eretz et shamin udvash. And we know that dvash is dvash tamarim. Rashi quotes on Achomish. It's not dvash of dvorim. It's dvash tamarim. So why don't we eat dvash tamarim? Silan, it's called. People use it for cooking, for roast, for baking, topping your ice cream. Maybe you've had it. It's delicious. Public service announcement. Make sure when you buy, you read the ingredients. Some of them have added corn syrup and water. You want pure silan, 100% silan. It's date honey. And that's what the Torah means by Erev Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey of dates, that's a Shiva Saminim, not bees. So why do we eat bee honey? Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg said, and then I'm going to add on a little bit to what he said, because the process of extracting honey from bees is difficult. Honey from dates, it just oozes, Zavat Chalav Udvash. It oozes from the dates naturally. In fact, if you ever open up a medjool date, sometimes you'll see beads, little beads of liquid inside. That's the honey from the date. But the bee honey, to extract the bee honey, you have to suit up and you might get stung. I mean, he didn't go through all these details. I'm just adding it in. You have to smoke the bees out. You have to get the honeycomb. It's hard to extract the honey from the bees. So we eat honey from bees on Rosh Hashanah to remind ourselves of those struggles in our Avodah Hashem, that sweetness comes through struggle. Sweetness does not come easy. That's the false voice of the Satan. That's the Navi Sheker. But if you work, if you struggle, you're going to taste sweetness. I think we could add on to what Rabbi Goldberg said. And that is, forget extracting the honey from the bees. It's hard work to make the honey. There's an expression, busy as bees, for a reason. The bees, they're called worker bees. They spend their whole life working. Get a little bit of pollen, get a little bit of nectar, fly back, process honey. It's hard work. It's hard work to produce that which is sweet. It's hard work to transform yourself from a set to an aisle. It's hard work to extract yourself from the thicket when you're caught by the thorns. It's hard work for a lobster to grow. But that's Avodas Hashem. That's greatness. And that's the Akedas Yitzchak. If the honey came too easily, it wouldn't be so sweet. But if you have to work like the bee, the worker bee, who dedicates his whole life to making that work sweet, then Be'ezer Hashem, the sweetness will come. Lefum Tza'ara Agra. According to the great effort that we expend, and the Perakei and Perakei Avos is the reward. With that, I wish you all Shana Tova Umesuka, a year that is good, a year that is only sweet. May the Ribbono Shel Olam Taka remember the Akedas Yitzchak Hayom Berachamim Tizkor, and the Ma'achalas of Yitzchak's Akeda, and the striving and toil that we all go through should bring Schusim to you, your families, Knesset Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, with Shalom and Tova for our people and our land. I thank Rabbi Tzim Bienenfeld for inviting me to speak. I thank you all very much for joining this year this evening. Thank you, everybody.